From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump's administration has decided to end the Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, for nationals of Nicaragua living in the U.S. About 2,500 migrants from the Central American nation have lived in the U.S. for decades. When they were granted TPS in the wake of the devastating Hurricane Mitch in 1999. Homeland Security Acting Secretary Elaine Duke made the announcement on Monday, saying that she, quote, determined that those substantial but temporary conditions caused in Nicaragua by Hurricane Mitch no longer exist. And thus, under the applicable statute, the current TPS designation must be terminated. She also cited the fact that there was, quote, no request made by the Nicaraguan government to extend the current TPS status. Thousands of Hondurans, Haitians, and other immigrants with TPS status are anxiously waiting to find out if DHS will extend their protections or not. Trump's new nominee to head Homeland Security is his current Deputy White House Chief of Staff, Kirstjen Nielsen, who is appearing before the Senate Homeland Security Committee this week for her confirmation hearings. My guest is Amanda Baran. She is the policy consultant with the Immigrant Legal Resource Center, and she's a co-author of ILRC's report Economic Contributions by Salvadoran, Honduran, and Haitian TPS Holders, which was published earlier this year. Welcome to the program, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Sonali. I'm so happy to be here.
So I remember the time when there was a lot of anxiety over extending TPS protections for Haitians, particularly after their devastating earthquake. I was surprised that Nicaragua, which has only 2,500 TPS holders in the U.S., so it's one of the smallest groups of TPS holders in the country, is the first one to be denied an extension. What do you make of Elaine Duke's justification that those conditions created by Hurricane Mitch, which were on, you know, decades ago, which happened decades ago, no longer hold?
That's a great question. So I just want to clarify that actually earlier this year, Sudan was terminated for TPS also. And the Sudanese people also have been here for decades.
I see. And that's something we haven't heard very much about at all in the news.
Yeah, it's really flown under the radar, which is unfortunate. But, you know, a little under 1,000 Sudanese in about 12 months are also facing the same fate as Nicaraguans.
So is the justification by Elaine Duke that, you know, those conditions that were that enabled these Nicaraguans to come to the U.S. in the first place no longer hold, that everything's fine, they can go back?
So in my opinion, I think that's really disingenuous. If you look at the Federal Register notice that actually designated Nicaragua for TPS in 2016, it acknowledged that the country still had a long way to go in terms of trying to recover. And so, you know, 18 months later, after the country has been hit by two hurricanes, Otto in 2016 and in 2017, just recently, Hurricane Nate, I think it's really, really disingenuous to say that Nicaragua can suddenly take back all of its nationals and that it still doesn't deserve TPS.
So are the 2,500 approximately Nicaraguans in the U.S. on TPS status, have they all been here in the U.S. since 1999?
They have. They've been here since 99. They're members of our communities. They work alongside us. They do all kinds of jobs, including working in the construction industry as caretakers. They built lives here and had children here who are U.S. citizens. And frankly, sending them back is immoral.
I mean, so they've been here for nearly two decades. When you live somewhere for that long, you live there. That becomes your life. And to sort of forcibly rip them out of that life, as you were saying, these are people, you know, that you don't put off building a family, you don't put off, you know, building a career or building a community, even if your status is legally temporary. So this forcible now ending of this status means that this community of about 2,500 people scattered across the country has just over a year to wrap up their lives in the U.S., rip apart their families and go back to a country they may not feel as connected to anymore.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's a tragedy. And we really condemn the decision because, as I said before, the country conditions are there. And if the Department of Homeland Security had wanted to extend TPS under the statute, they absolutely could have. And I'm really worried about, you know, this population of individuals and what they're going to do after their TPS expires, because they'll be out of status and subject to deportation. And also they won't have work permits.
So again, even if they're, and I'm wondering, even if say in the meantime, Nicaragua had completely rebuilt, was a place where people could conceivably build homes, this is a population of people who've lived in the US for nearly 20 years, and they're not being given a choice to continue their lives in this country. And that just seems heartless. And, you know, these are people, as you said, who have work permits, so they aren't ripping off anyone's social security numbers. They're presumably paying taxes and contributing to society. You authored a report earlier this year about the economic contributions of TPS holders. Can you give us a sense of what role they play in the country, and also how expensive it is to actually deport people and kick them out?
Yeah, absolutely. So the report that we wrote focused on Hondurans, Haitians, and Salvadorans, because they're the countries that have the largest populations of TPS holders. But, you know, all of that research could be applied to Nicaraguans or just as easily, since they have been paying into the system for, you know, almost 20 years. You know, if you read the report, it talks about how expensive it is to actually deport all of these individuals. It's going to cost our country so much money. And why would we do that when, you know, these individuals are working really hard? They're paying into our system. They're paying into Social Security and Medicare. They're contributing to the economy. I think it's just, it makes no sense to me.
So Hondurans are another group that that there are thousands of people with that protected status waiting to find out if it's going to be revoked or renewed. And in her announcement about Nicaragua, Elaine Duke basically said that they are putting off that decision, right? That she's made the decision on Nicaragua, but that they're still studying the situation on Honduras. Why do you think there's a difference between the two? Could there be any, could the difference have anything to do with the role that the governments of these two countries have played in lobbying or not for the extension of TPS?
I think that the role the governments have played are really important. She did note that in her decision about Nicaragua that they didn't ask for TPS, but that's not required by statute. But also, the U.S. has a really, really strong interest in keeping El Salvador and Honduras happy because of something called the Alliance for Prosperity, which is kind of a national security agreement that they have with these countries. And there's a lot of, the U.S. depends a lot on these countries for, you know, working cooperatively on law enforcement initiatives and national security initiatives. So I think that it is telling that the acting secretary decided not to make the decision, and presumably, in my opinion, is saving that decision for Secretary Nielsen if she becomes confirmed, because of these relationships that they want to preserve.
And we should mention that Nicaragua's head of state is Daniel Ortega, a proudly left-leaning leader who notably did not lobby the U.S. government for an extension of TPS for Nicaraguans, unlike other nations, unlike the heads of state of Honduras, etc. But as you said, that's not required to extend the statute. But I'm wondering if these 2,500 Nicaraguans might be suffering as a result of the political fallout, you know, of not that great relations between Nicaragua and the U.S.
Yes, perhaps. I think that's a really good point. And I think that it makes sense that they weren't extended because of these, you know, these lack of relationships that the U.S. has and the dependence they have on a country like Nicaragua.
So what is, I mentioned there's about an year or so for these Nicaraguans with TPS to, to either wrap up their time in this country and find a way to head back home, risk being deported, or is there another option for them to adjust their status? I mean, they've had work permits. Are there pathways to other statuses, other legal statuses in this country for them?
So one of the things that immigration law says is that the individuals with TPS, if they entered without status, that there is no path for them to adjust their status. However, in two circuits, the Sixth Circuit and the Ninth Circuit, those circuits have found that if an individual has entered without status but has TPS, TPS can count for an admission. So, for example, in some place like California, which is in the Ninth Circuit, an individual with TPS who is married to a U.S. citizen can now adjust their status. And so there are limited pathways. And in fact, the Immigrant Legal Resource Center has issued a practice advisory for people who could maybe benefit from this these decisions.
So, but it's specific to their circumstances and not everybody would qualify. What about Honduras? What about Salvadorans and Haitians? What do you expect might happen if Secretary Nielsen, if Deputy White House Chief of Staff Nielsen is made DHS Secretary, what do you think she might do on these other communities?
Well, what I really hope that she does is that she actually look at the country conditions and listen to career staff in the government who are making recommendations and is not listening to voices that might be politicized and who want to end TPS. I think there's a whole cadre of individuals who are now political appointees in the Department of Homeland Security specifically, who've come in wanting to end TPS because they think it's de facto amnesty. But, you know, the advocacy community and Champions on the Hill have made it really hard for them, as you can see with their decision on Haiti and now in Honduras. Mm-hmm.
And of course, many of these immigration programs that do allow people to either adjust status or to protect themselves from deportation, like DACA for the Dreamers, are under threat in the new political conditions, let's just say, in this country over the past year. Is it possible that TPS will become a political football, or is this something that is a congressional legal designation that that Trump can't just do away with like he did away with DACA?
Yes, that's a really good point. It is under statute. It was created in 1990 in the Immigration Act of 1990, which was bipartisan and signed by then President George H.W. Bush. And it's a lot harder to get rid of something that's in statute.
So TPS was created by a Republican president.
Yes, it was signed by a Republican president. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And, it's just a lot harder to get rid of that designation completely. But, you know, as they've shown, the administration can interpret what the statute says any way they want and claim that a country like Nicaragua, who claim that they don't need this status even when country conditions support it.
So they can basically pick and choose among which nationality groups they want to allow to remain in the country with the TPS designation, and they can basically use their discretion on the justifications being offered.
Absolutely. And one of the things that hasn't been talked about a lot that I'm personally worried about are the designations for Syria and Yemen. Both of those countries are on the Muslim ban list. And so when it comes time for those designations, Syria is up at the end of January, their country's not making any sort of request for TPS. What is going to happen in those countries?
And these are countries where there are absolutely brutal wars playing out countries that are fueling a massive refugee crisis in Europe, the likes of which we haven't seen since World War II. So certainly it's hard to see how the administration would argue that conditions in those countries are good enough for these people people to return to. But of course, they are among the group of folks that have been vilified and demonized via the Muslim ban in Trump's America. Amanda, where can people find out more from the Immigrant Legal Resource Center if they find that either they themselves or somebody they know is in a precarious position or worried about their TPS status?
So you can definitely go to our website, www.ilrc.org, and we will be putting out a practice advisory soon about, you know, the situation for TPS for our Hondurans and Nicaraguans. But also we have a practice advisory, like I said, about, you know, adjustment in the Ninth and Sixth Circuits and who can apply and who is eligible. And we just have a wonderful array of resources on that website for attorneys and advocates alike.
That's ilrc.org. We'll link to that from our site later today. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you.
My guest has been Amanda Baran. She is a policy consultant with the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. She co-authored the ILRC's report, Economic Contributions by Salvadoran, Honduran, and Haitian TPS Holders, which was published earlier this year. We've been discussing the Trump administration's decision to end TPS for Nicaraguans. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.